Genesis chapter 4, the first part of it is Eve's statement of faith, because she believed in Genesis 3:15. And what is Genesis 3:15? It's a dual prophecy. What does Genesis 3:15 tell us, Brother Mike?
That the Savior will come from the woman.
Okay, the first promise of a Savior. And the
Antichrist will
come. And that there's going to be a man that will be born in the end times that will be a literal son of Satan. He's going to be Satan's child. Okay? So we have the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan at war. Now, they believe that. They believe they were going to have a son. So there's where we start. We've got two people that have sinned, and now they're totally Adamic nature, sinful nature. They're liars, thieves, cheats, everything else, but they believe that God's going to forgive them one of these days, and the woman is going to bring forth a child. And the woman, in the meanwhile, has Eve. By the way, now, women, this will shock you. Women, ladies, now, you had two children. You had one child. And you could have 1,000 children apiece. That's what your body is capable of doing if you were living in perfect paradise again, okay? All right. Now, you could have 1,000 children. Now, Eve had 1,000 children, I'm sure. Okay, she had, and twins and triplets and quadruplets were not unusual back then. Okay, so we have these kids, all of these kids, having all of these children. She's going to have a lot of children, but the first child that breaks forth the womb, she believes is what? If she believes that this is the Jehovah, except she's got one thing wrong. She had sex with her husband. The real Messiah is not going to have a human father. That's the difference. The real Messiah did not have a human father. The Holy Spirit came upon her and covered her and implanted in her the sperm of God. And then, and where does the blood come from? Where's the blood come from?
Man.
The man. Where did Jesus' blood come from? God. God, he brought himself into the world. All right? He brought himself into the world. So there's the misunderstanding, and we can understand how that could be misunderstood. They all thought that they were going to have a child. Now, has any virgin ever had a child?
No.
That not? You got to think, brother. Don't just pop it open. Has any virgin in history ever had a child?
Other than Mary, no.
Yes, absolutely.
Mary.
Absolutely. There have been virgins that had children. One woman, when she got about 16, 17 year old, one girl, she got pregnant. She never had sex with anybody. But somehow, the father's sperm was in her ovaries. And she had a child from her father. And she had no contact whatsoever with any man. That is a very unusual thing. But that happened in history a few times. Okay, a few times in history. So it has happened. But when she had that child, did that child have a father? Yes. An earthly father, even though it was her own father, it was a what we call an anomaly, but it happened. You can go back and look this stuff up. Okay? But that happened. It has happened. Has any woman ever had a child without a man in history? A virgin has had a child without a man at all?
Yeah.
No.
Without a man?
Without a man at all. Not without her own father. This was an anomaly. Had any other woman ever... Is there any other anomalies? If they had a child, they were all... Every child had a father, so all of them died, didn't they? Would Jesus have ever died? No, he'd live like Adam forever.
That's why he laid down.
That's right, he laid his life down. All right, he was pretty much impregnable. But see, we know these things. We now, in medical science, we know it. We know about the blood. They did not know that here. When did they figure this out? In the last 100 years? Within only the last 100 years. But the Bible is the Bible scientifically, archaeologically and medically is a true book. It's scientific facts because it was given to us by the master of the universe. So the blood clotting on the eighth day when they circumcise the children and everything else, that's not wrong. All of these laws. Not eating pork, because pork had trichinosis in it. Not eating shellfish and clams and oysters and all that, because they're the ones that collect all, they're the, what we call the scavengers of the deep. And all the poisons and everything else is going to come through that. All right? These were all protective. And God set this in his laws. All the cleanliness laws and everything else in the camp, that's all written in the Bible. You want to follow these rules, you're going to be safe. Medically, you're going to be safe. All right? Now let's go to 4 and verse 1. We got all this preface here to it. We ha Adam. Yoda, Et, Chawa, Ishto, Watahar, Wateled, Et, Cain, Watamar, Kanithi, Ish, Et, Hadavar. Okay. And the man, he had sexual intercourse. Third person, masculine, singular, cow perfect. He had had sexual intercourse. That's literally what that means. He had had sexual intercourse. Et Eve, his woman, his wife, Ishto. And she caught and kept. She caught and kept. She caught and kept on keeping. Third person, feminine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. It means that she caught seed and kept the seed. In other words, it didn't go out of her. It produced life. Okay? And that's what they use. I mean, the Jews, when the language of the Jews is so descriptive of really life. A woman and a man can have sexual intercourse, but woman doesn't get pregnant every time she loses the seed. It goes away. But here, what it means is she caught seed and kept it, literally. That's what it literally means, okay? And then it says, Wateled. And she brought forth, literally, a child. She brought forth a child, a live birth. And she brought forth, third person, feminine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. She brought forth and kept on, this child stayed alive. Okay, that's what it means. The child didn't die. It's not a miscarriage. It's not what we call a stillbirth or whatever. It's a live birth. She had a live birth. That's what this word means. It comes from yelid. All right, yelid. And then we have the sign of the direct object, and then we have Cain. Cain. Say Cain.
Cain.
Say Canaan.
Canaan.
Canaan is the root. The root of Canaan is Cain. Cain means, Sharon?
To get or possess.
It means possession, or gotten. Gotten or possession. Cain, Cain. The land of Cain, the land of Canaan, Cana of Galilee. These are all, these words come from this one right here. Possession, all the time. Cain, Cain, and she said, Kanithi, Kanithi, say Kanithi. That's first person construct senior, cow perfect. Now this is the root of Cain. All right? She said, I have gotten. I have gotten Ish. Say Ish.
Et.
Now what's that? What's it say, brother?
I don't have it written.
You don't have it in front of you?
I don't have English.
Okay. What is that word?
Hadavar.
Hadavar. It's the last word in that sentence. Yeah, Jehovah, thank you. I have gotten what? Who she got? Jehovah.
The Messiah.
Thank you, Marilyn. She's got the Messiah. She's had Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean?
He who shall become.
Page 224 and 243. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 224. It means to become. The one who shall become. 243 and Kohler and Bumgardner. It means he who shall become. To become. That's it. Where is the first time that this verb, Hebrew verb, is used in the Old Testament? Where is the first time that this word haya, the root of this, haya, this is the root right here. What is it?
Genesis
1 and 2. Genesis 1 1 says, Barashith bara Elohim et hashemayim we et haaretz. It's not there. But the second verse says, We haaretz hahya tuhu wavuhu. We hoshekel p'nei tohom. All right? And so that first, and then it says, We haaretz. And ha the Etz, Eretz, and the earth. Hathya. Conjugate that one for me. Hathya. I know you're not looking at it, but conjugate it for me. What is it? Third person feminine singular. Cal. Perfect. And it comes from this word right here. The earth. She had become. Become. There's the first place. The root of the word Jehovah is in the Bible. Now here in Genesis 4 and 1, and that ought to do away with all this young earth and business and all that stuff. It just isn't there. Something happened. That earth right there is the earth that became that way. Originally it was created perfect, okay? Now let's go on a little bit further. So she's got Jehovah. She believes that Jehovah, and who is it? Who's the first son?
Cain.
Which means gotten or possession. I have gotten the man. I have gotten the Lord. F Jehovah. I mean, that's it. That's what it says. Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. I translate it as literally as I can translate it. Because I think that that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Unless there's a figure of speech or something, I'm going to translate it literally every time. All right, 4 and 2 now. So now the woman believes that she has gotten, this is her statement of faith, by the way. This is Eve's statement of faith right here. She believes Genesis 3:15. All right. What was Adam's statement of faith? What was his profession of faith? When did he profess his faith? Brother Mike? When did Adam make his profession of faith?
I don't know.
Sharon?
When he said,
Eve was the mother of all dying, wasn't she? But he gave her the name, the mother of all living, because why? Because he believed 4 and 1 was going to happen. But it wouldn't happen for 4,000 years. 4,000 years before that child. And that child would be born without the agency of a human father, either with an anomaly or anything. Jesus was divine. He had divine blood in him. Okay? I wish I had looked up that girl's name, the one that in modern times that had that child by her father in her womb. Let's go on a little bit further.
Somebody looking up on their phone right now.
Yeah, maybe. Watosef. Laledeth. Et. Aki. Et. Havel. Waihi. Hevel. Roeh. Zon. Why Cain, Haya, Obed, Adama. All right. Let's look at this. Now she had a child. The first one that came out was Cain, which means gotten. She believed this is the Messiah. That's him. And then she has more children. How many children did she have in this first birth? We don't know. But we know that she had at least two. Who was the other one? Who was the other one?
Seth.
Huh?
Seth.
Abel. Let's go look at him now. Watosef. All right. Conjugate that Watosef for me, Brother Roger. Tell me what it says.
Third person feminine singular, hefel, while consecutive and perfect.
All right. Third person singular feminine. Hefel, while consecutive and perfect. Now, do you remember what hefel means? Remember what hefel means? Hefel. Let's go back and think about that for just a moment. Hifel. The Cal stem is simple active. He killed. The Nifel stem is he was killed. The PL stem is intensive active. He brutally killed. The intensive passive is Puel. He was killed brutally and violently. The Hispael, he killed himself violently. Number six, the Hifel. Look at this now, Hifel. Where are we over here?
What book is that you're using?
Oh, this is a grammar. This is Kyle, or this is Yates. Kyle M. Yates, grammar, Hebrew grammar, biblical Hebrew grammar, not modern Hebrew grammar. It's a whole lot of difference. Okay, the causative act is Hifel. And he calls to kill. And number seven is causative passive Hofel. He was caused to kill. So let's look at this here. Let's see what we got. All right. And she continued to cause to be born. All right. She continued to bear. And what does that mean? To bear there. Now, it's yeled, isn't it? That's the root of it. And what we have here is la ledet. So what does that tell us about on the front of this word, Brother Roger?
Preposition to.
Well, it's a preposition to, but is it a preposition here?
So it's an infinitive.
It's an infinitive here. So we have cal infinitive construct. All right. She continued and kept on to bear these live births. All right. Et, sign of direct object. A-chi. All right. Ahi. All right. Now, what does this mean? His brother. That's his brother. So, she wasn't finished bearing. She had the first child, and she said, this is the Messiah. And then out comes another child, and she said, this is his brother. This is the Messiah's brother. Et Havel. Havel. All right. What does Havel mean? This is the word where you get able. But what does Havel mean? It's on page 211, Brown, Driver, and Briggs. What does Havel mean? It means a mist. All right. How many of you go out in the wintertime out in the very cold? And when you breathe, your breath goes out there. How far does it go? That's what it literally means. How far does it go? Just a little ways, and then it's absorbed. If you're in 20, 30 below zero, you know what will happen sometimes?
Freeze.
How many? Huh?
It'll freeze.
Breathe it out, and it goes crackle. But it doesn't go very far. It doesn't go very far. You can spit, and before it gets to the ground, it's going to freeze. You can take hot water and throw it out, and it'll crackle in the air. That way. But it only goes so far, the breath, the vapor only goes so far. And his name means vapor or breath. And it means brief, something that doesn't last long. I want you to understand something about the first names in the Bible. They mean a lot.
Do you think he got named at birth or named at death?
What?
Do you think he was named at birth or he was named at death?
We don't know.
Oh, okay.
But I believe that these were inspired names.
Yeah.
I believe they were inspired names. I believe God put it in their minds what to name these children. The first 10 names in the Bible talk about the whole story of the gospel. The whole story of the gospel. From Adam to Noah. It talks about the whole story of the human race and the gospel in those inspired names. And by the way, I've done that. There is a PDF file if you look in the book of Genesis or whatever. And we'll be doing that pretty soon. But before long, we're going to look at the first 10 inspired names and where they were, when they were born and when they died and all that stuff. Okay? But I don't have time tonight, but I wanted to tell you. This is an inspired name. I believe it is. I can't prove that, but if you take the other names, all the other names that we have a record of, they were inspired. So I think this is an inspired name. I think Cain was an inspired name because she had gotten the Lord. She believed she got the Messiah. And he became Abel. All right. Havel. Abel. Brief. Abel became a Ro'eh. 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 Jehovah Ro'eh is a title of Jehovah. What is Jehovah Ro'eh mean? The Lord, my shepherd. The Lord, my shepherd. His name is shepherd. What does the word shepherd mean? What does it mean? Roeh.
Watch over God.
That's right. It means to see. All right. Who was the first person to use the name Jehovah Roeh in the Bible? Who was the first person to use the name Jehovah Roeh in the Bible? Brother Roger, you know.
Hagar.
She said, the Lord my shepherd. When Jehovah appeared to her, she said, the Lord my shepherd. And he said, your child shall live because he's a child of Abraham. I will bless him. He'll become mighty nations. All right? Jehovah Roeh. Where is one of the next times in the Bible that this word was used? Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Genesis chapter 22. What happened in Genesis chapter 22, Brother Steve? Chapter 22, Brother Roger? You know where it's going, don't you? No, Pamela? Genesis 22, Brother Abe. That's it, Abraham. Abraham, Genesis 22. Abraham said, he went to Mount Moriah, which is a great controversial thing. If you look over there on that map over there, you'll see it. Okay? He went up to Mount Moriah, and he went up there, and when he went up there, he told his guides that were with him, these young guides, he said, my son and I, we're going to go up, we're going to worship, and we shall come back. Because he knew he was going to kill that boy, because that's what God told him to do. But he knew that if he killed that boy, that God was going to raise him from the dead. Because he said he's going to bless him through that son. And how could he stay dead? He believed that. It's a pretty powerful belief now. All right, he went up there and he said, God shall provide. All right? God shall provide. God shall see to it. That was the name of the place. Jehovah Roeh. The Lord shall provide. That was the name of that place. But he said, he saw the Lord. Because Roeh means to look over. It means the Lord shall provide, the Lord shall see to it. You understand that? This is a beautiful word, to see to it. The Lord shall see to it. And he saw the Lord there, according to Jesus, in the 8th and the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. He said Abraham saw him and was delighted to see him. He knew him. And who did he see? Jesus. In his pre-incarnate form. Okay? So this word here means to see. And it means to watch over a flock of animals. Zone. Flocks. Small cattle. Domesticated four-legged animals. Page 838 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And Cain. We Cain. Cain, the one possession. He became. He becoming, that is third person masculine or cal participle. He becoming, he kept on becoming a tiller, a plower of the earth. He plowed the earth. He plowed the earth. Now, how many of you ever plowed? Anybody ever around here plowed?
Rough.
Huh?
I have. It's rough.
Brother, you didn't have near rough as I did it. Let me tell you how I had it. I went to work when I was about 19 years old. I was 6'2", weighed 220 pounds, 230 pounds, something like that. I was very strong. And I went to work for this other Indian. His name was Bob Stats. And I went out in the oil fields up there by Kalinga, and we were putting in a brand new tank farm up there. And working over these oil wells and everything else. And in between putting these things, he said, we got to dig a ditch and level that pipeline over there. He said, get behind this A-frame. And I had this real heavy plow. That plow probably weighed 200 pounds. He said, get on those handles, boy. He put that A-frame down in Granny Lowell. And that ground up there, you know what kind of ground that is, don't you? It's hard as rock. It's like bricks.
It's got big old cobblestones in it.
Yeah. There wasn't any rocks in this much. But anyway, I stuck that plow in the ground. He said, hold on. And he took off for 1 mile. 1 mile. I held on to that. Throwing me all every now and then, he'd have to slow down because I was laying over there dumped in the ditch someplace. I'd get it back up, put that plow in the ground. For 1 mile, I did that. 1 mile. Well, he said, now when we got through, after I'm all bruised up, black eyes and everything else, literally, because it had thrown me all over the place, you just grab a plow and you take a big plow, a 200-pound plow. He said, now get the shovel and throw the dirt out of the hole. He said, Sue, how much work I saved you. I know all about breaking ground. Yeah, I was strong back then. I'm going to tell you, I was strong. And it was only about 120 degrees out there, by the way. But soaking wet. They'd put me in those tanks and say, shovel all that crud out of there and chip off those. They had these heaters in the bottom of this heavy crude. And I'd go in there and chip all this stuff off. They didn't tell me it was dangerous and the tank could blow up. And I went in the side and I'm shoveling all, standing in there in my clothes, shoveling heavy crude out of the bottom with sand and stuff out of it every day. Taking baths in diesel. Taking a bath in diesel, you know, you're not supposed to get too much of that on you. I was taking baths in it.
Has your hand fallen off yet?
Look at me. What kind of shape I'm in. All right. And he continued to bear his brother, Abel, and he became and kept on becoming Abel, a watcher of flocks, literally. And Cain, he kept on becoming a tiller. A plower. That's what it literally means, a tiller of the earth. Of the earth. Of earth, literally, of earth or ground. His relative. All right. Tiller. Oved, that's masculine senior cow participle. He kept on plowing. Every time I see something like this, I can see myself behind that A-frame with that plow. I'll never forget it. I don't think I've ever recovered from it. Not mentally, anyway.
I don't think you
will. All right, 4 and verse 3. Here we have the origin of false religion now. The origin of false religion. It originates with this man right here. Wahi. Mekets. Yamim. Yahweh, Cain, Mepere, Ha-Adama, Mincha, Hadavar, Le-Hadavar. Now, I don't say that word because I don't know how to say it, neither does anybody else. They keep saying Yahweh and all this kind of stuff, but I guarantee you they don't know how to say the word Jehovah. And when the Jews came to it, they said what, Brother Roger?
No. Adonai.
Adonai, modern. Because they don't know how to say it either.
Hashem.
What is it? Ha-davar. Sometimes they would say Hashem, the name. They did not say the name of God. Because of Exodus 20 and verse 7. And it says, Exodus 20 and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Some of them Muslims ought to remember that just a little bit.
Forgive.
What?
Because he will not forgive.
He will not forgive. No. You shall not be forgiven. Scary. Scary. Do you think you can go try to turn that on? So let's go say what it is. And it became. And he became, literally. And he became.
Open.
Third person, masculine, senior, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect.
Open.
You have to open it, Brother Abe. And then push down. Yeah. Third person, masculine, senior, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And he became, now we have Mekets. From end, literally, from end of days, Yahweh, and he brought and caused to bring third person masculine singular hifel, wow, consecutive, imperfect. Cain. And he brought, calls to bring Cain. And then he says, Mipere. Pere means what?
Fruit.
Fruit. It means fruit. He brought from fruit. Of the ground. From fruit of the ground. And Mincha, from an offering to Jehovah. Share. from Jehovah. Now, he brought an offering from the ground. Now, what was wrong with the ground, Brother Steve? What was wrong with the ground at this point? Remember what had happened with the ground? What happened with the ground,
Sheriff? It was cursed.
The ground was cursed. All right. So he brought a cursed offering. And by the way, he didn't bring the right amount either. Now, every false religion in the world is going to do what? They're going to require from their constituents more than what God does. Did you know that? The Muslims, how much do they have to pay, Brother?
20.
Huh?
20%.
That Muslims have to pay 20% of their income to the mosque. Okay? How about the Mormons? Yeah, about 20. How about the Church of God, Brady Carner, Ted Armstrong? A triple and quadruple tithe. Okay? Now what kind of an offering does the Bible prescribe us to give to God?
A living sacrifice.
No. 10%. And it was already in the garden. It was already in the garden. They were tithing in the garden. Adam tithed, Abel tithed, and Cain wouldn't tithe. He would not tithe. Okay? He would not tithe. So he's going to bring a cursed offering from a cursed earth and the wrong amount to Jehovah, and he's going to say, "Here it is, Jehovah. Aren't I religious?" And every man has something in him that calls him to God. Did you know that? When you were lost before you ever heard the word of God at all, Pamela, did you ever have a drawing to God before you ever heard the word of God or anything in your life? Was there something there that made you think that God was watching you and was there? Brother Steve?
Yep.
Yeah. Brother? From your very early days, did you have an idea that there was a God?
My first song at 18 months was
"Jesus Loves Me." Yeah. Brother Abe, before you really knew the Lord, before you ever heard the Bible preached, were you conscious that God was there and that there was something that you needed to hold on to? Yes. We all do that. According to Romans, the first chapter, he calls all men's hearts with the calling that they have information about. Okay, whatever, you know, they know there's God there. Every far away, isolated people knows that there is a God. They know that. There is a God. So he knows that there is a God. Now let's go to the New Testament. Hey, kine diatheke. Hey, kine diatheke. Anybody got a New Testament? Anybody got a Bible with you? All right. Galatians. The book of Galatians 1, 6 through 9. The book of Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. I know I got it in my Bible. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Let's read a little bit about this. The Apostle Paul is talking to the churches of Galatia. Almost every New Testament letter is not to somebody, nearly, almost all of them. It's to a church. Even the book of Philemon talks about a church in somebody's house. Okay? All of these books are church epistles. Some of them are general epistles, like the book of Ephesians, like 1 and 2 Peter. All right? These are written to churches. Okay? And here we have it in verse number 8. Let's look at it. Now, we're kind of leaving the Old Testament for a while because we have originated false worship. False worship. Verse number 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a heteros, a different gospel. A different kind of gospel. You know, a different kind of gospel. Which is really not another, only that there are some who are disturbing you. who want to twist and distort and pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul is saying. You can go back and look at the whole book of Galatians. I did the whole book of Galatians from Greek one time. You can look on the websites and go and look at them. Study every word in here. But even though we are an angel from heaven. Now, can angels from heaven give you false information? Absolutely. Now we know that there's angels that have form, and we have spirits that do not have form, and we know that the angels of God that are not fallen can be your ministers, and there's ministering spirits also, spirits that comfort your heart. It's kind of like a wave that comes over you to comfort you. These spirits are. They don't have form, but spirits do what? They seek to dwell in human or animal flesh. That's what spirits do, okay? And of course, we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. So even though an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be what? Damned. Damned is what it means, damned. Now this word here, accursed. This word here is anathema. Okay, anathema. Anathema comes from two Greek words. How did I ever do that? Anathema. And it comes from ana and histamine. Like that. Okay? Now, what does ana mean, brother? That is a preposition. What does ana mean? Anastasia. Up. 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 Ana means up. Or upon. Up. 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 And then histamine. Yeah, Anabaptist. Re or up. Rebaptizing. Okay. Anatithemy. Anathema. Okay. Now, let me go back to the history of this word anathema. The word anathema comes from a Greek word that went into pagan temples. Now, how many of you ever give something to a church? Have you ever given anything physically to a church? What? Have you ever given an offering that was a physical thing?
Yes.
Did you ever give a bucket or a wheelbarrow? Or in these ancient temples, they took shields and plates. That, you know, the priest would have all kinds of dinners and things in there, you know, that they'd have all these celebrations. Some people might take a platter and put in there. Sometimes they would take a very famous warrior sword, which was in the temple of Solomon. That was David's sword, actually glass sword that was in there. These are all dedicated things. But when you dedicated something to the temple, the pagan temple, it went upon the wall. Anathema. Anathema, it went upon the wall. Now, if you gave your family coat of arms, a platter, how many of you got a coat of arms in your family, all right? Sometimes people got coat of arms in their family, and they have this on the wall. Well, sometimes people would go in there and put a picture of their coat of arms in there, made out of pure gold or silver or whatever, or bronze, silver, whatever. A shield, a sword, a spear that somebody had used fighting for that pagan deity. Okay? And they put it in the temple. And once you put it in the temple, you could never buy it back. It could never go back. It was unredeemable. Unredeemable. You know what unredeemable means? You can't buy it back. It can't be redeemed. So what did this word turn out to be? Anathema. It means damned, cursed, unredeemable. Now let's go back and look at it. But even though an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that we have been preached, let him be damned, unredeemable. As we have said before, I say it again, if a man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you receive, let him be damned, unredeemable. For I am now seeking the favor of men. I am now seeking the favor of men. Or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men. I would not be a bondservant. I would not be a slave of Christ. Because he was a Pharisee, wasn't he? Now, so we see this, and what does Paul the Apostle say to the churches of Galatia? And they were bringing in what? What was going on in Galatia? The Judaizers. They were trying to add the works of the law to the gospel. And he said, damn them. Damn them. Let them be accursed. Let them be unredeemable. The Judaizers. And the Judaizers today are your common Seventh-day Adventist. Okay? That's who they are today. Those people are mixing works with grace. Now let's go to another place in the Old Testament. Later on, in Numbers 3 and 4, 26, 61, and Leviticus 10, 1 through 7, this is all on the same subject. So we go back into the Old Testament to the book of Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And Deuteronomy. What does Deuteronomy mean?
Second
law. Why did they have Deuteronomy? Why do we have Deuteronomy in the Bible? Why do we have Deuteronomy in the Bible?
Because Moses wrote it.
Huh?
Moses wrote it.
Huh? Moses did write it, didn't he? But why do we have it in the Bible? Why do we need Deuteronomy? We already have Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. Now why do we need Deuteronomy? That was the second giving of the law. It means second law. Because all of those people that lived before had died. So now he gives the law again. All of these people have died except for Joshua and Caleb. So we have that. Now let's go look back at a place in the Old Testament where we have people so-called of God that are not following the rules of God. Nadab and Abihu. All right? 10 and verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, now all of these other places... Numbers 3 and 4 and 26:61 talking about the same subject. But you have all these places. I preached many a messages on strange fire in my life. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, they placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord. This false religion. It was kindled not right. This was not kindled for the Lord. It was not kindled correctly. They did not follow things according to the rules. How strict is God about following his rules? How many ways do you think he's going to let one Mormon go to heaven with a Mormon idea of salvation? How many of them going to get there?
None.
How about Catholics? If you believe what the Catholic Church says, how many of them are going to get to heaven? How many popes are going to get to heaven if they believe the dogma of the Catholic Church? Zero. How many popes have gone to heaven if they believe the dogma of the Church of Catholic? None. Well, they were great men. They were honest in what they did. So what? Strange fire, people. It's strange fire. It offered strange fire before the Lord, and he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord. From where? From where? From the presence of the Lord and consumed them. Then they died before the Lord. Burn them up. Where did this fire come from?
Behind the veil.
Behind the veil from the Ark of the Covenant. That's where it came from. And it came out and ate them. Killed them. Lightning struck them. That's right. Lightning struck them. The lightning of God struck them. Did you hear that lightning? That's Oklahoma, I want you to know. It's like cheer.
I heard it the other day.
It's like Falfa and Tricity and Mudagrass. Mudagrass. Yeah.
Mayor.
And Angerns. All right. And Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated holy. Don't you bring a cursed offering to God. Don't you bring a cursed offering to God. That happened way back in Genesis, the fourth chapter. Now let's go on and let's see the children of Cain. And before all the people, I will be honored. I will be honored according to what I say. Not what Muhammad, not what the Pope says, or any other false religion, Garner Ted Armstrong, or Joseph Smith, or Charles Taze Russell, none of these people. These are all false prophets. If they got any revelation from anybody, It was from where? Fallen angels and fallen spirits. That's where they got their information. Can some of these people work miracles?
Sure.
Yeah. And Moses called also to Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle Uzziel, and he said to them, come forward and carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp. Now, I want you to understand something here right now. Do you think Aaron loved his boys? Oh, you love your children? I love my children. We're talking about religion now. So they came forward and carried them till still in their tunics to the outside of the camp, so Moses had said. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar, Ithamar, do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, so that you may not die. Don't you weep, don't you mourn, or I'll kill you. Woo, that's strong language, isn't it? Don't shed a tear. Don't you weep, don't you uncover your heads. Don't cry over these boys, or I'll kill you. This is strong language, isn't it? Don't you cry. False religion is cursed. It is cursed. That they may not become wrathful against all the congregation, but your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of the meeting, lest you die. For the Lord's anointing oil is upon you. So they did, according to the word of Moses. Their anointed oil was upon them. They were consecrated to God. Even though these were his children, do not mourn. Do not show any signs of mourning or grief, or I'll kill you. False religion and truth cannot coexist. False religion and truth will not coexist. False religion won't get you to heaven. Baptists have never persecuted anybody in history. Never. All other religions have persecuted somebody. Catholicism persecuted 50 to 100 million people. Even Luther and Calvin. Luther and Calvin killed people. They killed Baptists. The Muslim faith has killed 270 million people. They killed 6 million people when they went into India alone. And Egypt. They killed. God's people never kill anybody else. But sometimes God kills people. Sometimes he's killed them. He said, the Lord spoke to Aaron, said, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither do you, nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of the meeting, so that you may not die. Truth does matter. The true doctrines of God do matter. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations. Now let's go on a little further. In the New Testament again, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. This is hard stuff, isn't it? It's hard to take. But we're talking about truth. Truth matters. Strange fire is that which is evil in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15. What I'm doing I will continue to do, that I may cut off opportunity for those who desire an opportunity, as be regarded as error in the matter of boasting. Verse number 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise them. Whose servants? Satan's servants. Disguise themselves as servants in righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. False religion always demands more of the human race than what God does. False religion tells you you have to do something to get to heaven. The only thing you have to do to get to heaven is to believe in the sacrifice that God made by His Son. God paid it all. All you have to do is believe. But after you believe, you do things for the Lord, don't you? That's why you're here tonight. This is a discipleship class. You're learning the things of the Lord. Now, let's go to Jude. The book of Jude, the book of Judah. This book was written by Jesus' half-brother. Mary's child, by the way. Mary's child, one of his brothers. This is one of his half-brothers. They came from the same womb. What does the word Adelphos mean? It comes from ah, which means what? Out of? Delphi?
Brother.
Delphi? Delphi. Ah, Delphi, Marilyn. Delphi. Womb. From the same womb. So this man is from the same womb as Jesus, which is Mary's womb. Okay?
That's
the alpha negative on the front of a word. Okay?
How do you spell it? Can you write it up there?
Adelphos. Alpha negative in front. Delphi is the word for womb. Okay? And Adelphi also is a sister. It means from the same womb, literally. So he had brothers and sisters.
So the A is out of.
Out of. That means the alpha negative on the front of a word. Okay? Beloved, verse number 3. While I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it necessary, bindingly necessary, to write to you, appealing to you that you contend earnestly for the faith that was once, hapax, once, one time, delivered to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for condemnation, ungodly people who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. That is the only Master and Lord. We don't have another one. We don't have a Pope. We don't have a Muhammad. We don't have Joseph Smith. We don't have Garner Ted Armstrong. We don't have Herbert Armstrong. We don't have Charles Taze Russell. We don't have Mary Baker Eddy.
But you haven't met my wife.
Yeah. Yes, I have. Deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once and all, that the Lord, having saved people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. All right? People come to God's churches and they hang around for a while and then they leave. They either didn't like what they said or it was costing them too much. One thing about it, when the Lord is your Lord, He's the Lord of your pocketbook too. And people, that is something that people guard very preciously, don't they? Angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under deep darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as those, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. They went after what? Strange flesh. They were homosexuals, and they were. I went even after the angels. They wanted to have sex with the angels, remember? The angels blinded them. Are exhibited as an example to undergo punishment and eternal fire. Yet in the same manner, these men also defile the flesh. Dreaming. They're having dreams. People have started false religions by dreams. Dreams. They have these dreams. I know. They wake up. Ah! Boy, I had a revelation. You know what? We have a revelation. We don't need another revelation. We have a revelation. We have a true revelation. And it's from God, not some other imposter. The book is the most important book in all the universe. The book. Defile, reject authority, revile angelic ministries or magistries. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil, argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him railing judgment, said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men, reviled things which they do not understand, things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By those things they are destroyed. Destroyed what? Religiously destroyed. We're talking about false religion. What happened to Cain? Cain. He was destroyed by his revelations. I guarantee you, God didn't tell him to go out there and take a fruit from the cursed ground, a cursed fruit from a cursed ground, and make an offering. He told him to kill something innocent. Had something innocent had to die for something guilty. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of what? Cain. That's the one we're talking about in Genesis, the 4th chapter. And for pay, they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam. Balaam was the one that stood against Moses. He was the one that stood against the prophets of God many years later. This guy lived a long time. The devil gave him a long life. As I've said many times, the devil takes good care of his own. He was a great servant of Satan, a great prophet of Satan, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. False religion. These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feast. When they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, double time, two times dead. False religion makes you doubly dead. A cloud without water. It's no good. That's dust. Clouds without water, winds, trees without fruit, doubly dead. What happened to that fig tree that represented Israel? The Lord cursed it. You will never bear any fruit anymore. All right. Wild waves of the sea casting their own shame like foam, wandering stars out of the path, what we call shooting stars. Asteroids tearing up everything in their pathway, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. All right, let's go on a little bit further. How about John's writings? 1 John 2:18. That's not too far before this, you know. 1 John 2:18. You thought you were getting out of the New Testament, didn't you? When you're in the Old Testament, you've got to go to the New Testament too. Little children, it is the last hour. In verse number 18, 2:18, just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour. And they went out from us because they were not really of us. Some people go to church and they get just enough information to found a false religion. Where did Muhammad get all of his information?
From the Christians.
From what, Brother Roger?
From Revelation.
From Revelation, possibly demonic revelation. But where did he get a lot of information?
Along the caravan route.
Along the caravan routes, Damascus and all of these places. He'd go there and he'd hear these rabbis which were spouting off the Babylonian Talmud. That's where he was. The Babylonian Talmud and the Mishnah, which had all of these wild stories which the Kabbalah was made out of later. And he took false religious, the Gnostics' idea of Jesus, and all of this he put together into another false religion. Okay? They went out from us because they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they were not all of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know. I have written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. Because no lie is in truth. Lie and truth is opposites. Who is a liar? But the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. He who denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. For as you know, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the Son of God. The Son of God means God's presence in this world through flesh, which is Jesus, the Jehovah of the Bible. Now go to 2 John. 2 John. Now 2 John is a real short book. 2 John is a book that tells us the boundaries which truth draws. By the way, the book of Jude is called, I called it, the Acts of the Apostates. All right. Now let's go to 2 John 6. It's only one chapter, so. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is a commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. John is the apostle of love, isn't he? But I'm going to tell you something, he curses people too. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ as becoming flesh. Who says this? Jehovah's Witnesses. The Muslims. The Gnostics. All of these people, they're cursed of God because they deny that Jesus Christ, God, became flesh. That the Messiah was God in flesh.
Well, that's the verse you used.
This is the deceiver, the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Those that deny that God came in flesh. Watch yourselves, that you might not lose that which you accomplished, but that you may receive the full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God, and the one who abides in the teaching, he has the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him there into your house. And what house is he talking about, Brother Steve?
Your own home.
Your own home, which was what, Sharon?
Church.
A church. Do not give him a greeting. Do not say hi. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Strong stuff in it about false religion. Strange fire. False religion.
That greeting, isn't that more like shalom?
Yeah, shalom. Peace be to you. God bless you.
But I mean, you say, don't even say hi.
Don't say shalom.
Yeah.
Don't greet them with a peace, because they have no peace to offer you.
Yeah, a godly.
Having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you, speak face to face, that your joy may be full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. These are boundaries which the truth draws. When Aaron's sons got killed, he said, don't you weep for them. Don't you go out. You've been consecrated. Don't you go out and touch that which is evil. False religion. False religion. Now, we don't kill anybody, do we? You know, out killing people to try to make them convert to what you believe. You preach the Word of God to them. If they convert, that's between God and you. How many people you ever saved in your life?
Amen.
Zero. How many people you ever led to the Lord?
A few.
Nobody. You might have given them words to make them think, but who led them to the Lord?
God.
Spirit of God. You have no part in conversion except presenting a message. That's all. We just give them the message. And I prayed all of my life for people when I gave the message that they would be saved. I've seen Jehovah's Witnesses saved. I had them saved in this class. I have seen Catholics saved by the galore. Many Catholics have been saved in my ministry. That's the one gift that God has given me to reach those people. I just preach to them the Word of God. You know what happens? The Holy Spirit of God works them over and brings them to the Lord. All right. Strange fire. And the origin of false religion.
Way too.
What?
It's like they're being beat up physically, but spiritually. They don't know what it is, but they're like a fight. When you're telling them the truth, the Word of God, it's like a fight going on.
Yeah. Well, I'll just tell you one story of one person. We went through 4:1-3. 4:1-3.
I have a question.
Hold on just a minute. Four, one, two, three. Now the Lord has prescribed truth. Nobody's going to go to heaven. No one is going to go to heaven except by God's way. There is no other way of salvation. I don't care how much people believe. I don't care how much people believe, how earnest they are from their hearts. I've seen some also earnest people in false religion that give their lives for a lie. But sometimes God leaves them out. And you're thankful for those. God leaves them out, you're thankful for those. And Steve, do you have a question? Is it on this subject?
No.
No. Well, let me shut this thing off. And thank you for your attention tonight. And I hope you enjoyed something from God's Word. It's been very delightful to me. And I had this sermon on my heart for a long, long time. All right. Let me shut these machines off.